Grace Halsey, editor of Patient Care Online, website for primary care physicians. Today I'm speaking with Dr. Patrick Moriarty about cardiovascular risk and risk assessment. More specifically, we're going to talk about the evidence for the role of lipoprotein A, which I will call LPA here on, as an independent risk factor for atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease and also as a target for therapy. Dr. Moriarty is a professor in the Department of Internal Medicine and the University of Kansas Medical Center in Kansas City, where he's also the director of clinical pharmacology and the Atherosclerosis Lipid Apheresis Center. And he'll be speaking on this topic that we're talking about today next week at the 2020 Virtual Cardiometabolic Health Congress. Welcome, Dr. Moriarty.
Thank you, Grace, for inviting me. Good afternoon to you.
Thank you. So you're involved in the most current research on the role of LPA in the development of ASCVD and also in some promising research on a potential treatment to reduce levels in patients at high risk. Could you just give us a little bit of background on how LPA became identified as one of the more important markers of residual cardiovascular risk?
Sure. It goes back all the way to 1963. A Dr. Berg from Norway he's a physician, but also a researcher, and he was trying to investigate, see if there are new blood types. In his investigation, he immunized rabbits with a human beta lipoprotein from a single donor. And antibodies that he found were approximately found in, that developed from this procedure were found in one third of the population. And then eventually he found out that these patients that had this protein had increased risk of cardiovascular disease, and he called it lipoprotein A. And that's where it originated from. So we're going all the way back there. And it's progressing and progressing up until now. If you want, I can give you a kind of a quick overview of what this lipoprotein is, if you want me
sure.
to.
Sure.
It basically contains an LDL-like moiety, 100 in size, like a typical LDL. And it has this apolipoprotein A bound to it. And this apolipoprotein A looks somewhat like plasminogen, except it doesn't have an active protease domain. Now, the protease domain of plasminogen is what causes clots to break up because our blood's constantly clotting or unclotting daily. If not, we'd bleed to death or we clot to death. So this plasminogen goes to where a clot is and breaks it up. Well, LPA goes where it is, binds to it, but does not increase the fibrinolytic cascade. So the clot sustains a longer duration, which in places like cardiac and brain could be very detrimental. Third, it's a major carrier of inflammatory molecules, including, more importantly, oxidized phospholipids. About 80% of our oxidized phospholipids in the blood are carried on this lipoprotein. Mm-hmm. And the oxidized phospholipids are major players in the plaque foam cell deposition and degradation of plaque causing rupture, which is the major etiology of a cardiovascular event, is a ruptured plaque. So it's a triple whammy because it's LDL too. So it's LDL inflammation and coagulation. And about a third, 20 to 30% of the world population have this lipoprotein, and you're born with it. It's an autosomal dominant gene that dictates it. So if you have it, 50% chance your children might have it. And when you're born, you can't change it by lifestyle. Diet, exercise has no effect on it. Actually, statins might raise it a certain percentage.
Interesting.
Well, the good thing about that, even though statins do raise it, the statins still give clinical benefit. There was a study called Jupiter where they used rosuvastatin, if you remember that, mm-hmm. and showed in primary prevention study, and they showed a reduction of cardiovascular events and reduction of LDLs quite dramatically. But then they looked back and they said, okay, what about the patients in that trial that had a high LPA? Well, they showed that they still got benefit with the statin, but it was attenuated. It was weakened by the high LPA. So you never stop a statin therapy in a patient based on their LPA level.
So what is this new molecule? I believe it's a... I'm going to say it correctly, an antisense oligonucleotide is, I believe, what you were looking at in your research that was published, I guess, in the beginning of the year. How does it work?
We published a paper in January of this year in New England Journal of Medicine. It was a phase two trial where we had different levels of this drug dosing in patients. About 85% got some dose and 15% got placebo. And it's an antisense oligonucleotide, as you mentioned. Present-day monoclonal antibodies, such as the PCSK9 inhibitors, what they do is they inhibit the protein as produced in the blood to prevent it from being active in its whatever its mechanism of action is. For antisense, this drug causes? It causes a missense reading of the messenger RNA to prevent the protein from being read out and made. So it inhibits the protein being made itself. And the drug has a special addition to it, which makes it liver specific. So it goes directly to the liver only because it can't go to other tissues. So this is the new version. We had one that didn't have that. This one's 100 times more potent, so the dose is much slower. And we found that the drug could lower LDL, Lp(a) by about 80%.
The results were quite remarkable, just if you look just at raw numbers.
Oh, incredibly powerful. And now we're moving into so-called phase 3 trial, which a hard endpoint is looking at reduction of cardiovascular events. And we're going to, dose is going to be 80 milligrams once a month compared to placebo. It'll be 50-50. We're talking about thousands of patients worldwide. It started already late last year, and COVID has slowed down the process of it, as you would expect. But it's moving ahead. We're one of the sites. And it looks in 5 years, hopefully we'll be able to show that this drug not only lowers Lp(a), which we know it does, but lowers cardiovascular events on top of that. We have a paper coming out in JACC giving an overview of the drug, its initiation, its progression, because we've been working on this drug for a very long time. So it gives you kind of an overview of the Lp(a) and of this drug itself. Now there's another drug that's just finished its phase 1 trial. And this is similar in the sense of inhibiting the messenger, but it's an RNA interference. And this one has similar powerful effects like the other one we just mentioned, but they're just initiating a phase 2 trial. So they're a little bit behind the competition.
Well, at least there's competition. That's always good to know.
Oh, that helps. You're right. It speeds up the process and lowers, hopefully, the price.
So how, in general, in the world of preventive cardiology, is the idea of lowering Lp(a) well received? I know that the ACC, AHA, and the European counterpart both recommend using Lp(a) as a risk enhancer when looking at cardiovascular risk.
Right.
30% of the population sounds like a big number, but does that mean we should be looking at Lp(a) in everyone or just in these very specific patients?
Well, I'm biased. I've been in this field for a long time, but let me give you an idea. The American guidelines, as you said, recommends you measuring as a risk enhancer, but only in patients who have cardiovascular disease or very severe family history. Because it doesn't change levels throughout your lifetime, the European guidelines came out last year and said, we recommend universal testing for every adult at least once, which I think is the appropriate thing to do. Because it's not an expensive test. And there's ICD coding for it. So it's a one-time test. And if it's normal, then the rest of that person's life, they don't have to worry about it. But if it's elevated, then you have that risk enhancer, as you mentioned, on your medical history that should be identified.
Who should be using this test?
Again, I'm biased. And I always say everyone should be. And I think as time goes on, everyone will be. I don't know if you remember that TV show called The Biggest Loser. It was about this athletic guy who trained people who were overweight. A few years ago, he had a heart attack at age 50.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And his heart attack was directly related to Lp(a). He had a massive MI in the gym. Luckily, there were two doctors in the gym that did CPR. And he was in a coma for 2 days and woke up and found out his Lp(a) was high. What's interesting is, and I'll tell you this as a personal story, is that for strokes in children, unlike adults, where 90% of strokes is related to thrombosis and atherosclerotic plaque, less than 2% of the strokes, thrombotic strokes in children, you find atherosclerosis, the source. And on people less than 50, 40% of people less than 50, when they have a stroke, a thrombotic stroke, not hemorrhagic, 40% is idiopathic. We just don't know why. We do know now that high Lp(a) in children increases their risk of a stroke. And if they have a stroke with a high Lp(a) in the highest 90 percentile, they have a tenfold risk of another stroke after the first one. And I say that personally because I was sent a child from the Children's Hospital here in Kansas City who had a stroke at age 11, thrombotic stroke, hemorrhagic, and it obviously neurological deficits. They saw the thrombus and they brought him to KU to do the invasive radiology team to do the thrombectomy at the basal artery. They removed the thrombus, but he still persisted with the symptoms. So they consult, they did full blood work, hypercoagulable state, nothing was there. His LDL was 60 milligrams per deciliter, but his Lp(a) was 160, where normal is less than 30. They consulted me, and at that time I said, the only thing we have at this point are my machines, the lipid apheresis machines, which is approved for treating Lp(a) now. And we treated him and lowered his LDL and Lp(a) by 80%. He's been on this treatment now for 5 years. Every 2 weeks, he hasn't had an event. His neurological symptoms have greatly improved. Now, stroke in young children is very uncommon. Etiology is even more uncommon. And that's where Lp(a) could be a major informative measure to do to see if what's going on with these patients. And it's just a blood test. It's nothing complex.